As you take a seat this morning, make sure that you pull out your Bibles. Make sure you pull out your Bibles. You are going to want to have those with you this morning. You're also going to want to pull the tiny little outline that says the Passion Week of Jesus the Christ across the top of it. We should be done with this at about 3, so don't sweat that. No, this is a guide for your week this week. It is the Passion Week of Jesus the Christ, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Before I do, recently I was with a couple of underage little friends of mine at a meal, and they noticed that Melinda and I were holding hands, and the little boy looked at me, and he looked at her, and said to me, what's the deal with her? I said, that's my wife. I love her. And he said, why? Why? You know, kids, right? That's their favorite little question. And so what do you say in those moments? What do you say when someone asks you a question that is way bigger than an answer? And so I just smiled and said, well, she's cute. And he smiled. He's like, whatever. You know, and onward and upward. But I was thinking back over some of the reasons that I would say that I love my wife. I mean, do you remember when we went to San Francisco and we got engaged? Of course, you better. I remember when Melinda told me that we were pregnant for the first time. And how exciting, you know, that was. And it was, what a moment that is. And then she told me again with Kayla. And then I'm like, man, this is going to man-on-man defense now. And I was concerned. Then I remember when they handed Kayla to me. Jessa was, you know, she was only like, what, 8 pounds? Like, that was easy. I did not stress out over that. I just want to talk about my personal feelings about that. But Kayla was 10 and a half pounds, as a lot of you know, and it was like someone handed me a giant block of cheese, and I was so excited. It filled my heart right there. I was like, this is a child right there. She's big, and she's flop her arms backwards, and it was so exciting. I remember before all that happened, signing papers with Bob Stanwood, our realtor, on our first home, and thinking, oh my word, look at the giant thick stack of papers I just put my name on about a million times. I think I just signed my life away. I remember so many things when I think of why I love my wife, and these are just the things that I can share with you publicly, the things that are kind of these milestones, and I've walked it with her. I was at Starbucks recently, and the reason that I'm sharing this story is I was at Starbucks recently, and a gal asked me, why are you a pastor? Why do you do what you do? And so do you ever feel like someone's asking you for, like, you know, a little shot glass of water out of the giant reservoir or dam of relationship that you have with Jesus? Do you ever feel that there's just so much there, it's hard to explain? It's hard to explain to people. Now, I've practiced this kind of stuff, and you know, I'm supposed to be a pro at this. I'm a pastor, and I'm supposed to know what to say in these moments. And so I kind of fumbled around a little bit, and I said, well, I just love Jesus. I love Jesus, and I love sharing about that love with other people. And that launched us into a great conversation. She responded back to me a little bit later and just said, you know what? I don't think I've ever experienced the love of Jesus. I know that that's our job, right? God has blessed us, and he has loved us, and he has so loved us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. That's a verse a lot of you memorized when you were a child, and it has humongous impact in the midst of our lives, but it also has significant impact in the way that we love other people. Here's the thing, though. I think that for a lot of us, if we were to say, have we really recently experienced the love of God, a lot of you that are here would say, no, I haven't. I mean, if I think about it, yeah, then I experience it. But when I just go through my daily life, I'm not experiencing what the Bible says is the love, the mercy, the goodness of who God is. I just don't, it's just not around me all the time. I got work, I got things to do, I've got deadlines to meet, I've got to get done with my day because I got to get home because there's things to do, and we've got a show or two that we watch, and we got to have meals, and there's just, it's a busy, full life. Could I invite you this week? Could I invite you into something that I found to be one of the most radical experiences of my entire Christian walk? And that is this. Would you walk through the course of this week with Jesus Christ in the midst of what for thousands of years Christians have called the Passion Week of Christ? The reason they call it that is because God, through Jesus Christ, pours out His passion. The reason that He was here, His passion for life, His passion for people, His passion for all that He came into the world for, He pours out the fullness of His passion gets poured out in the week that lies ahead of us right now. And I have put together, and I did some revising. There's not updating that you get to do this, but you do get to kind of, you know, clean it up, make sure it's really understandable. I tried to put together a guide for you that will walk you through each day of this upcoming week. Now, I know a lot of you are maybe thinking to yourself, why would that be important? And I would just alert you to the very first thing that's written there on that outline on the Passion Week of the Christ. And I, by the way, I'm really, you know, kind of highlighting that, right? Jesus the Christ. The Christ is a title. It's a title that existed in the Old Testament. In other words, there were books and words that were written hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus was ever born, that God was going to send an anointed one, a Messiah, one who would save the people from the terrible grip of sin and the result of sin, the wages of sin, which is death. And because mankind is in such a grip to get away from death, it means that the problem of sin has to be solved. And God promised that He would not allow us to just drown in our own sin. He promised that He would send a Savior. And that Savior was going to be anointed by God. And when you translate the word anointed from the Old Testament and you bring it over to a different language in the New Testament, that word is the Christ. So it wasn't like Jesus' last name. They didn't walk around going, hey, Jesus Christ and all of your brothers, the Christ kids. That's not how it worked, okay? It's Jesus the Christ. We have just shortened it, and we just say Jesus Christ. That is the phrase that we use, but let's not miss that what we're talking about is Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the one that had been promised from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, we get the first view that the Christ is coming. And then this is the week where Jesus pours out all of the passion and the reason for why He came. I mean, don't get me wrong. Christmas is awesome. Talking about the baby born in the manger. We sing a song, Jesus, no crying, you know, He made, and all that kind of baloney. And it's, you know, it's very, very Hallmarky and whatnot else, and it kind of is like sucking on a candy cane for five straight weeks is what it's like, isn't it? You kind of get the picture that maybe it wasn't quite exactly like the way that we've turned it into. But Easter, this week, except for just one small detail of bunnies that lay eggs. Outside of that, this week is very, very unmolested by our culture. It is a week where people are willing to walk through the doors of a church to experience a little bit of the story of why Jesus came into the world. Not that he came into the world, Christmas, but why he came into the world. That's Easter. But I tell you, if you really want to know the love of Jesus, if you really are sitting there and you're feeling like, man, the love of God, that's pretty far away from me. The love of God, that's something that I have not experienced recently. The love of God, that's a little obscure and obtuse. Could I just invite you to follow along? Because every one of the stories about Jesus, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of that New Testament. Hey, somebody check your ring. Someone is stealing a package off your porch right now. That's what that little twinkly sound was, for those of you that don't have rings. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at that. You know, one writer says that all of the Gospels are just simply kind of Passion Week stories, and they just have these extended introductions. We're just going to introduce you to the characters and the things that are going on, but what it's really about is the Passion Week. And you know, when you look at how much each one of the books are dedicated to the Passion story, look at that. The smallest one, Luke, and it is one of the longest books, which is why, but it only gives 25%, a quarter of its material to the Passion story. That is a huge chunk of the book to be dedicated to this. And look at the book of John. Half of it is just about this one week of Jesus' life. How important must it be for you and I to experience this week right along with Jesus? I would offer up to you that it has been life-changing for me. If you want to know the love that God has for you, then I would invite you to take a look at the image of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. I would invite you into the midst of this week. Everything that is provided to you inside of this little booklet is going to help you walk through this week with Jesus Christ. Now, there's a little bit of background at the beginning. Any of you that know me know I'm super nerdy. I'm totally in to where this story comes from. What did it mean in the context that it was written in? Where do some of these ideas come from? Why are we waving palms? Anybody that has not been in church recently and came in here this morning and someone handed you a branch off of a tree and then you saw that singing, and I was thinking to myself when I was waving it in front of my face, I'll be honest, I was waving it because I had three rows of children right here staring at me going, what's that bald guy going to do with that branch? And I'm like, I got to give him a good example right now. But I thought about you adults who got dragged in here and you don't come to church very often and you're thinking, what kind of a freak show have I walked into? We are standing in a room singing songs out loud together, which is odd. I only do that with the national anthem, frankly, in public. And now I'm waving a tree branch around. This is bizarre. And if you didn't think it's bizarre, you need to visit more people that are outside of the walls of the church, because that, my friends, is strangeness. But it's explained in here. It's explained in here. It comes from a really wonderful story that is part of the week that we are looking forward to. I want to invite you in to the Passion Week of Christ. There are so many wonderful, rich, good, deep details of this story that you can engage. Or, hey, honestly, I get it. A lot of us have got super busy lives. So pick it up. Pick it up and read through the text of this here, and maybe just grab one section, just one of the verses that is mentioned, and read it. I guarantee you, if you will do this, you will experience more on this week of the love that God has for you than any other week of your life. It's why we have worked so hard on this week as a staff team. You know, we start today with Palm Sunday, and you got to see two people, and Miranda Tara, thank you. Just thank you for sharing your stories. It was amazing, and it was wonderful. Kelly, that's awesome. See, just best friends with your girl. I mean, how exciting is that? That was Kelly's first baptism that he got to do, by the way. And so I just was delighted for you. Jesse, I know how much baptisms thrill your heart, so I won't go into it. But I just want to say that baptism is representative of new life. New life comes from really understanding and experiencing the love and the mercy that God has for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. The whole reason for Jesus Christ's life is captured in this one week by the writers of the Bible. And we've tried to put it together for you so that you could walk through it. Our staff team has been so excited for Palm Sunday to get here because we know what this week has. We've got Monday, Thursday, a meal together. Why? Why do we do that? Oh, it's in the booklet. Friday night, we're going to have a prayer time in here. Lights down. Prayers up on the screen. Stations inside of the room that you can go to and really take some time to center up on Jesus Christ. Why would we do that? Why would we darken the mood? Because Friday is not called Good Friday for no reason. It's in the book. You should read that. And then we're going to get to Sunday. And Sunday's a great time because not only do we have a free breakfast for the whole community, anybody that comes, but we've also got a couple of services where we will celebrate the fact that all of those predictions, all of those, they call them prophecies in the Old Testament, but all those predictions of a Messiah, all of the claims of Jesus Christ that He said that He was the Messiah, all the observations of the religious leaders of pushing Him away, all of it comes together when we see that God brings Him back from the dead. You think that's a fantasy story? You think that, like, oh, really? Back from the dead? It's like, you know, what, Snow White, you know, Kiss, somebody brought somebody back from this. It's in the book. You should at least take the time to read that story and see what happened and listen to the eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus and how all that was promised was fulfilled. And He rose from the dead. And we will celebrate that, and we will celebrate it big on Easter. Don't let me miss, by the way. I would be verklempt to miss that for the children, we've got a community Easter egg hunt. I share these things not because they're announcements. They come off that way, but it's because there's something marvelous, isn't there, when you're a child, about getting to open one of those eggs. There's something marvelous about looking for something that you get to go find and take hold of and claim as your own. And you will see in every Easter egg hunt the picture of God searching for people and claiming them for His own, finding the lost and securing them for Himself. You'll see the picture of the empty tomb opening up and the wonder that comes from it. Don't miss the story. Don't miss it. I know we can get all excited about Cadbury eggs and how tasty this week is and See's candy and all the rest, but I want to invite you into an experience of the love and mercy of God. When someone asks me why I love my wife, I can give them the short answer, she's cute, or I can give them the long answer, and I can share with you 25 years of relationship. The good, the bad, the ugly, the marvelous, the stuff that threw us to our knees, and the stuff that made us just cry for joy. I can share that with you, and you'll begin to get a taste. I can stand up here and scream all year long about God's love and how good He is and how wonderful He is in your life and the things He wants to do there, but I guarantee you, if you will just take the time to experience this yourself, it'll be the greatest week of your life. Because you will truly get to experience what it's like to walk through the Passion Week as Christ walked through it. Here's my only caution. It's a good story. It really is a good story. I mean, they make movies out of this stuff. Seriously, it's worthwhile. It's a really good story, but don't read ahead. Take it as it presents itself. Take it one day at a time. On Wednesday, be in silent Wednesday. On Thursday, just experience the upper room and Jesus and his disciples and what happened there. On Friday, just read about Friday. I know some of you are go-getters. You want to read the whole thing. I'm going to read it, the whole thing, every day. Could I dial it down, back off a little bit, and just one day at a time, okay? Could I invite you into that? Could I invite you into an experience of wonder? Probably one of my favorite, I am not super into art, like classic art. I'm more of a Jackson Pollock guy, which is the splatter painter, because I think, man, that looks more like my life. And so I'm into that stuff, but I'm not into a lot of classic art stuff, but this picture on the back, I don't know why this picture grips me so much, but you know, Jesus grew up in a home where his father was a carpenter. So this is a picture of Jesus. I know it looks like he stepped on a Lego and he's asking God for help, but I get it. It's an old picture, and so they made him kind of weird and stuff like that. And let's face it, Jesus got one serious. His abs are amazing, by the way. But okay, like get past all that. All right, that's spoken from a man who's hiding them. But I want you to see some of the imagery that is here. Jesus' mother, Mary, looking at the shadow of Jesus, praying to God the Father. Joseph is gone because he has died. The nails that are on the wall, the picture that Mary knew, that her son was anointed. He was chosen. He was Messiah, but that he would die, that he came to suffer. And this week, I'm gripped by the shadow that Jesus throws across our own lives. I'm not that into artwork, but I see in this artwork some of the wonderful imagery, some of the extraordinary picture of the life of Christ and what it means in my own life. I want to live in the shadow of a king. I want to live in the reality of how much he loves me and how much mercy is poured out for me. And I want to live my life sharing that blessing with other people. I don't want it just for me. I want it for you, and I want it for all the other yous that you get to have contact with. This is the Passion Week of Christ. Do not live as though it is a normal week. I am inviting you in to an extraordinary experience of the grace and glory of God. Please do not leave this place and just live as though it doesn't matter. I am inviting you in. Christian, those of you that don't even believe in Jesus, I'm inviting you all in to an experience this week of what it means to walk with Jesus through the Passion Week of the Christ. Worship team, why don't you come on up here? I know you're like, hey, wait, you didn't preach. That was my introduction. No, I'm done, actually. I'm going to pray for us. My call to you, the reason you are getting out early, mark this date in history, the reason you are getting out early today is because this is now on you. This is on you, okay? This is for you. I am inviting you in. Please, please, please experience the love and the mercy of God. Father God, I come to you this morning and I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here. I pray for my friends, that some of which I just met today. God, I pray that you would be moving in each one of our hearts, that God, even if we're just a faraway observer of the things of God, that we would pull in tight and get to experience what it is like to walk through this week. God, what it means when we're singing about alabaster jars and kissing the Lord's feet and hosannas and praising him and all this strangeness, God, that we take for granted comes from somewhere. It comes from a week where you are worshipped, you are adored, you are betrayed. There is light and there is dark and there is evil, and the love of God clearly wins. And God, we thank you for that. We know that there is a resurrection that is to meet us next Sunday. But before then, God, we pray that we together as a family would walk through these moments in your life because they are our lives, and that God, as we walk through them, we would learn more and more and more about what it means to truly be loved by God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship him this morning.